Synthaholics, it's the Tabernacle Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. I am your host, Aaron O'Brien, and with me is...
Surprise! It's Holly Michelle, not a surprise.
It's not a surprise. And unfortunately, the other side of surprise that we don't have our good buddy, David Duncan. He is off on Planet Ryza drinking many, many drinks.
What is it that Mud is drinking? Sipping something...
Oh, I forgot. I don't remember.
Man, it was such a funny line.
I don't remember.
Junipers
but...
or...
Oh, mint juleps?
Juleps. Sipping juleps at the...
I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember. So Dave's not with us, and we had a week off. We took a week off after our marathon of The Matrix. Mm-hmm. And we got into some pretty crazy discussions about reality. So, you know, maybe we had to check ourselves.
We all need to reassess our lives.
I just sat in bed for hours thinking, am I in a simulation? No, you're in a simulation. So if you haven't checked those out, we did all three, the trilogy of Matrix, a couple of last episodes before this. So definitely enjoy those if you have a chance. And Holly unearthed an old video a couple months back that Dave and Holly did. Was it a couple months back or was it a year
back? Oh, my God. It was over a year ago.
Oh, was it a year ago?
Yeah. Okay. So it was before I was a synthaholic.
That's right. You were just honorary status.
Yeah. I was just friend.
Friend Holly. So
plus
she
one, not VIP.
Yeah. So she unearthed a video that she did for another show some time back, and then what happened was because we weren't going to do a show for the week, and she kind of did some editing and stuck a little tape and spit together and threw the whole thing together, and you can see it on YouTube.
Yeah.
So that. It's fun. It's fun just to see those Holly and David have a couple drinks and have some laughs, talk about what they like about, what'd you say, five different
Like adventures sci-fi. In space. Like, it's not strictly like film, book, game, just like forms of media that we loved that were in space. And we only chose five, so.
Yeah, to keep it, you know, without going
too far. Well, the idea was so that it needed to be a short video.
Right.
In the beginning. So it's just really fun. And, you know, it made me kind of sad because now that I'm across the country, we're not all in the same room anymore.
I know.
And when you watch it, it makes you nostalgic for.
I know. Because it is nicer when you are together in the same room.
Yeah. It's funnier. You get to play off of each other and just.
I
so
know.
It's
that's
sad, but.
It is. And, you know, I was thinking too. I don't have a camera on, you know, for my setup here, but I probably should, and we should start thinking about doing stuff like that more often.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it maybe visual cues would be more fun, and, you know, and if we ever wanted to do more videos in the future, that would be, you know, cool to do too. So,
yeah, for sure.
I don't know. It's something to think about, but, yeah, it was a fun video, and we've said it on the show before, but when you did live in the Buffalo area, I could probably have walked to your house,
but we were neighbors.
Yeah, but I probably been to your house all of less than 10 times.
Yeah, maybe like 7.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, because we're all busy. So obviously, you know, I can't be, you know, hanging out with Holly every day.
Yeah.
And that was a crime.
Yeah.
You know, we should have got a chance to hang out some more. But, yeah. You know, whatever.
It's life.
It's life, man. That's where it goes. No, I just one of those things in retrospect when you think about that kind of stuff. So
yeah, for for sure.
But, Holly, we did get something cool on our week off. We got the Picard series poster.
Yes.
And he has a dog. Yes, he has a French bulldog that's with him. And he even has a little...
I don't think he's a French bulldog. I think he's a pit bull.
You think he's a pit bull?
I think he's a pit bull. He's... Let me pull it up.
I don't know. He's got the short ears. That's the only thing. Or maybe they're not short ears. I'm looking at it, but it's hard to tell.
Oh, fighting dog's ears are cropped.
Oh, very, very good. You are much more adept to the dog breeds and knowing.
Well, I have a hatred for dog fighting. So
he's
a pit. He's a beautiful little pit with little cropped ears.
But anyways, yeah. So Picard has a dog.
Yay! And all the memes about what is it, John Wick?
John Wick. That's right. Yeah. Now they're putting a phaser in his hand and
Very creative. But,
very funny, but yeah, very funny.
No killing of dogs.
Yeah, well, so far, as much as we know, maybe this is what gets Picard off the sidelines. You know, he's like, he's retired, he's growing his grapes to make his wine, and then someone comes and kills his dog, and he loses his shit.
He's just gonna fuck everybody up.
Actually, that would be, I mean, it would be stupid, but it actually might be really funny.
That's going to be the next, you know, those films that are like Not Another Teen Movie and
like the
superhero movie.
The parody stuff.
It's going to be, there's going to be a parody of Picard coming back as John Wick.
Yeah, that's right. And he just turns into a like killing maniac.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I love it. Yes, but it's cool. It's a very cool poster, it's iconic, actually. And I get, I get nervous. Just the idea that I don't know how to say it, but like the CBS All Access that's given us Discovery has given some high points, and it's given a couple points that make me question their sanity.
Yeah,
and I am hoping that this is good beyond good. So,
well, you know, I was kind of trying to explain this kind of to a friend when we got talking about Game of Thrones writers, and you know, Discovery changed writers so many times. It's such a prestigious honor to write Star Trek.
Sure.
And I think, you know, Game of Thrones last season kind of fizzled out because the writers were just fucking done with it.
They're like, we don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, and HBO wanted more Game of Thrones, the world wanted more, and the writers were done with it, and they decided to just let them write it instead of letting somebody, handing the pen over. And so, I don't know, Discovery's, the pen has changed hands a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe too much.
Right.
So
right.
Maybe if they get someone solid, someone who they can trust to maintain what's going on, or maybe if they even have directorial input from Patrick Stewart or, you know, anybody else that has already been really a part of the franchise for a while.
Yeah, right, right.
Then they may find that they figured out how to do it.
And I know that Patrick Stewart definitely had part in developing some of it. I don't know how much he had to do with actual writing, but I know he had some idea of developing. And I would hope by now that he's had some idea of what his character is about.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, and I think he does. I mean, I think the worst I could possibly say where things went a little off the rails in Star Trek Nemesis, where he's has that point where he's riding a dune buggy, and apparently they threw that scene in. This is what Dave has told me. This could be totally wrong, but Dave's usually right about shit like this. They threw in the dune buggy like action sequence scene is because Patrick Stewart at the time really enjoyed riding dune buggies, and it was his jam. And they're like, "Oh, we'll throw a scene in that for you." So
that's
It seems silly.
Conducive to the vision. Yeah, sure.
Why not? But, you know, I mean, I don't think it detracted necessarily. I mean, I've always thought this, too. You know, we always get these away teams coming down to planets, and they're just kind of walking around. And, you know, wouldn't a vehicle, like an all-terrain vehicle, be much easier?
Definitely.
You know, so at least to get around. I mean, for a big, big open space, but whatever. You know, it's just me talking. So,
no, it makes a lot of sense.
I that's what I'm hoping. So I'm hoping the poster is definitely something to hype us up. And I know, obviously, probably in the next couple months, we're going to start getting more, like, releases, maybe
more teaser trailers.
More teaser trailers. Now. Yeah, they'll probably send out an extra one just maybe a couple months, maybe a month before. Because they want to get people to start signing up for All Access more, you know.
Right.
So,
which, if you watch the YouTube video that I just put up, there's a...
You said you didn't have, like, access, yeah. Because you were talking about Discovery.
Don't listen to what David said. Just get All Access.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll sponsor our show.
Yeah, maybe.
If we stop cursing and stuff.
Well, yeah, we should be... Maybe try to... I don't know. It's a podcast.
No.
Come on, people. Everyone curses. But this episode, we are actually going back to Picard, and we're going to go back to a Next Generation episode. I kind of pulled this one out of the hat. I thought it might be more Picard-centric. It is, but it isn't.
Right.
But this is the episode Where Silence Has Lease, and this is Season 2, Episode 2. And it first aired November 28th, 1988. That was a long time ago. You know, it's funny is this episode is... So we're over the hump of the first season, but we still have, like, a little bit of feeling that it's not... You watch it, and it doesn't have the cohesiveness that, like...
Future episodes are going to have.
Yes, like, the characters aren't all quite developed. They're there, but they're not all there.
Yeah.
And the dialogue's a little bit clunky, you know?
You know what's funny about you saying this?
Hmm.
There were little... tells from all the actors that, well, not all of them. Yeah, all of them. And they definitely were, it was, a lot of these, the things that happened in this episode were really uncharacteristic of the characters. And it is to be determined whether or not what happened while they were in this thing, what really happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's hard to go off of. But there were just little things that was really odd for that character. But then I found myself appreciating parts of it because they were in a void and it was very serious. And so they chose to forego, you know, ominous music and stuff. So a lot of the episode was really quiet. And I loved that. I loved the quietness because it does. It feels very soap opera-y, as it should. But... with the emptiness of the sound, it was just like, it just made it more special. I don't know.
It seemed they did very good at making a pensive episode where you're like, what's this? What's going to happen? You know, but without like, you know, it being too over dramatic or too action packed in a way or something like that. Like they, you know, and it has a very nice Star Trek flair. I think it really does have that feeling that, you know, when you tune into a Star Trek episode, you know, maybe this isn't the best example, but I think it gets the spirit right, you know, so. But we should probably get into it, do a breakdown of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, it starts out, we open up, we have, the Enterprise is, doing a charting mission in a faraway quadrant, and, Commander Riker is doing a holodeck, program with, Worf, and they are being attacked by all these different monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And, Worf gets a little frenzied up. He gets his, he definitely wants to start killing more and more. Gets my Klingon
on. But not in a personal way.
No. But he is almost at a point ready to take on Riker and take him out. So, and Riker has to order him to be at ease. And Worf finally settles down. So
Worf was so immersed.
Yeah, no, and it's funny. It's like, I guess he does this all the time to relax, apparently.
Yeah.
So this is like, I think Worf has a hard time just keeping his shit together while he's on the bridge.
Probably.
You know, like where we would be like, oh, you know, Enterprise Bridge. This is really calm. This is nice. I can just be, I can talk normally. I can work at a normal pace. Where Worf is like, let's fucking kill everything. and he's just like, keeping calm is probably like the opposite. Like if we were in a combat zone, we'd be like, holy fuck, holy fuck, holy fuck. And he'd be at ease. That'd be his quiet moment.
In the end of the episode, when Nagilam is talking to Jean-Luc, he says kind of like exactly what you just said.
That's hilarious.
That Jean-Luc thrives on conflict.
Worf does, and Worf has mastered his. In the beginning, like I think maybe 3 seasons, we see like a kind of a very like violent, you know, bloodthirsty Worf, and then he kind of tones it back more and more. You see it here and there.
That's good character development, I think. You know, I love a good baddie, and he comes from a race that, you know,
are warriors.
We're warriors, and to humanize something, you first have to point out all of its flaws and issues.
Interesting.
That's what I think.
That's
why I like villains.
Villains are always fun because you can identify with parts and then reject the other parts.
Yeah. It makes you reflect on a lot of shit.
Yeah, I always
except Cruella de Vil. I don't see that angle.
Back to the dogs.
I'm just saying. Like Emma Stone's gonna play Cruella de Vil, and I'm like, I'm gonna see it, but I'm like, I don't know how they're gonna, pardon the lack of a better word, but humanize her.
Yeah, that, it might be hard. Well, I don't know. Cruella never was quite humanized.
No, but that's the thing now. You have to make people feel for the villain before they break your heart.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is what Maleficent 2 is going to be. Maleficent's going to be back to Mistress of Darkness.
Did you like the first Maleficent?
Maleficent?
Thank you. I thought it was interesting. There's parts I liked.
I thought it was interesting. I don't particularly like Angelina Jolie.
She did nice in that part, though.
She did a really good job at that part. And I think that Disney did a really good, you know, they were able to tell the story really well. And I loved the twist that she and Sleeping Beauty Aurora were essentially allies throughout this whole thing. And that even though Maleficent ruins her life in the end, she actually loved Aurora. I think that it was good to put that in, so I'm excited to see why she goes so dark.
Yeah. So one of my favorite villains on screen, it's just one I always go to automatically, because I think we talk about identifying with a villain, is always Magneto from the very first X-Men movie they did with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. Where you see him, his parents being taken away during World War II to Auschwitz or one of the concentration camps. And that's when his powers manifest for the first time, and he like crushes, you're just like, pumped,
because I'm like, I would be right there with you.
And you're just like, you're like, yeah, humans are fucking disgusting.
Right.
And you're like, what, you know, so, and I always go like, well, you know, I kind of get why Magneto's the way he is.
And that's the best way you build rapport. You build connections, and you find things that you're connected to with this villain, and then...
Right. That was one of them for me.
Yeah.
There's other ones, but that one, it's always my go-to. So it's always like, yes, that's a great way to build up a villain.
Definitely.
But Worf is no villain.
No. I just mean, like, you know.
I know.
Hard. He's got his edges, and it's gonna take some time to buff those out.
Yes, exactly. we're gonna rough those rough edges. Have gotta come down a little bit.
Yeah. Those little things.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Because. But Worf points out to Riker that this is workout was like to him, and Worf admits that the other ones would be too personal to share.
Right.
And you're like, what the hell does that mean?
And I love, like, so before this, you see the bridge, and you see Picard, and I don't remember who he was talking to, but they
it was Troy. It was Troy. Yeah.
And if he's worried about
What they're Riker doing, Riker and Worf. And Worf.
And he's
yeah.
like, I'm worried about both. I don't, you know, it might not be wise to try to understand all the psyche of a Klingon or something,
yeah.
something weird like that. So, I thought that was the very first, this is where they first exhibit this topic of observation.
Otherness.
Yeah, of wanting to learn and trying to understand other things.
True enough.
So I thought that was the first little nugget of
this episode.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Picard during this series of Next Generation probably is the first to delve into as much as Klingon culture than we've ever saw before. So, and they really developed it from there. So, which he helps Worf when he becomes like an outcast and, you know, try to get him back into the houses and stuff like that. So that's always very interesting. But moving forward, we get, back on the bridge, we, Data gets a unusual reading, and it's a area of devoid of space, matter, and energy. It's a hole in space. And Picard is interested in this, and because they've never seen anything like this. Data apparently says that nothing like this has ever been seen before. So nothing in their books. So they decide to shoot a couple probes into the void. And it's funny, even Worf recommends that he raise shields. And Picard's like...
And he's so ashamed of
yeah,
his
he is.
Fear.
And he's like, Picard's like, why? And then he's like, so it's just interesting, you know. But like I said, it maybe the comm is like it Worf's combat zone.
Maybe.
You know, and maybe, like, you know, this is like, it's hard for him to keep his shit together. You know, it's just a thought. It's odd, you know. I never thought of it this way until we start discussing this.
Yeah. I've heard stories of, like, wartime where, you know, a leader, someone in charge is, like, a total dickhead, but, like, when the shit hits the fan, they're totally calm, and they're totally cool and collected, and they can very easily explain what they need you to do. However, mm-hmm. when you're, like, in garrison or, like, at base, and
you don't,
and you're wearing a dirty shirt, they're like, what the fuck are you wearing?
Right,
like,
right,
this
right.
is not the, you know, we might be in garrison, but this isn't the time for you to wear fucking Daisy Dukes and...
Daisy Dukes.
Converse. Just put your fucking running shoes on or put your boots on and yeah. But in the shit, they're like... Totally
I think there's part of that is always keeping discipline, but also sometimes you have to be an asshole to give orders out constantly. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary, I don't think, but some people, that's how they operate on a constant basis. So it's not in me. I couldn't be like that all the time. I was like, well, he's a good guy.
I've got, like, really bad anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if there's something serious happening, I'm really... I don't know if it's because I'm analytical or not, but I'm okay to focus on, like, what's going on logically. Mm-hmm. But if it's, like, somebody asks
so you're
me,
Worf. You're Worf on the bridge
maybe
right
I'm
now.
Maybe I'm Worf on the bridge.
You're like, everything's too calm. Something's gonna fucking happen.
Probably.
Right now. So,
all right, well, I'm Worf. Cheers to that.
Worf with better hair.
Better hair.
Yeah, at least until, like, whatever, season 5 or 6, where they finally figured that shit out.
Right. Know.
They gave, man. Yeah. So they come across this hole in space. Worf wants to, you know, obviously attack it or put shields up or something. So they send another probe out, and that one vanishes as quickly as it goes in. So,
But he tells them of a tail. He doesn't
oh, yes.
tell the tail, but he mentions the tail.
He's like, this is kind of a stupid story, but there's a story of Klingons that had something just like this, and it was bad.
A faceless blob that eats ships whole, or something really vague, and it could have been that a little better.
I know. Just like this old Mariner's Tale, you know, the old Kraken came out and devoured the crew. So Picard tells them to get closer, and they'll try to get a closer look and try to see what's going on with the actual this void or whatever they're looking at. Mm-hmm. But then, as they get there,
can I bring up one thing?
Yeah,
'cause I feel like it's kind of important to the topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Doctor comes to the bridge too, and she's super.
Pulaski
to Data.
So this is a thing with Pulaski. She does this all the time to Data, and thank God she got written off the show after this. Because so Gates McFadden, who played Dr. Crusher, was obviously first season, and then she went off because she didn't like. I guess she didn't like her role and didn't like how she was treated by the staff of the. I don't know if it's the producers or I don't know exactly what the full story is, but there was like she just felt like there was she bristled at something, and so she left, and so they casted Pulaski. The doctor there to take over a role, and they kind of just said that Crusher had to go someplace else, like reassigned or something, even though her son was still on the ship,
right?
Alone, and
he's an ensign now, so
he's a or acting ensign even, she is just so shitty to Data all the time. She just treats him like garbage. It's the worst,
and I feel like. Maybe it was just me reading into it, but I feel like they had her. There's no other reason for her to come to the bridge aside from belittling Data, and to kind of point out another form of observation
life.
Yeah, and let's not forget, like, Data's prime directive is to become more human and to observe things and retain things. So. I think it was just like, it's like a really fun full circle episode. So anyway, I just wanted to add that before they actually.
That's actually, I didn't put that connection, but yeah, you're right. And so here we get the first one with Worf, how he's the other. Mm-hmm. And now we have Data as another, as a other.
Mm-hmm.
And
now they're observing this blob as an other.
Right, but which they're not even thinking of as a life form. Yeah, right, exactly. So as they get, like I said, closer to the void, it envelops them, and they get kind of pulled in. So first, they're kind of cool with it, you know. Picard and Riker are like, "Oh, this is interesting. We're now inside this thing," and then they decide they're going to try to make a sense. Yeah, it's trying to fly around, and then they try to send communications out, and there's like all the communications are cut off,
right?
And Riker's like, "All right, let's get the hell out of here. Let's not stick around too long." And they find that they can't leave this void, and they even go to the point where they put a beacon down, so they know how far they've gone, because they're like, even at one point they're flying says. Are your engines running, Ensign? He's like, yeah, everything's working fine.
Good.
Yeah. So, and then from there we get, they drop this beacon, and as they fly away from it, but then all of a sudden
they're flying toward it.
They're flying towards the beacon. So they've gone a full circle, and they don't know exactly where they are. And they speculate that's possible they are in a dimension, or maybe Data even says, they're not in any dimension.
You know what? I don't know if they did this on purpose or not, but when this is kind of like backtracking a little.
Mm-hmm.
When Worf and Riker leave the holodeck.
Yeah.
They made a point to kind of focus on the holodeck grid. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was like kind of a foreshadowing maybe. Because when you're in the holodeck, you don't feel, you know, you feel like you're moving. You feel like you could go for
That's
a run,
true.
And you run through walls, and technically
you're not.
But,
right.
So I wonder if that was, like, some form of foreshadowing, because most of the time when they exit the holodeck, there's no reason to pan back to the grid.
I thought that was weird, too, that they did that. And we had, by this point, we had seen the holodeck before. I mean, they introduced it, I think, the first episode. So, from the first season. So there's no reason to do that.
Yeah. It was kind of, and it lingered, too. So it made me think about it. So I wonder if maybe that was a pointed thing that they did.
It's very interesting. I wonder if it was, or if it was just a slower directing
that well, they maybe were going. Because they were so close to this little blobby thing, it got the idea from them being on the holodeck.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, it's an interesting thought. I didn't put that together either. Like I said, they got into the whole beacon thing. They can't seem to get out. And this is where they come across a Romulan warbird decloaks right in front of them. And, they go to red alert and they order, the warbird fires on them. And, this is where Enterprise, fires back and the warbird is, destroyed immediately.
And they're like, the fuck?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Geordi goes, yeah.
I know his face.
He's like so into it. It's like, we killed all those people. And then, and Picard goes, that's too easy. That can't happen.
Right.
And then, you know, I think Data or Wesley goes, there's no debris from the explosion. So obviously whatever happened there didn't really actually happen. And so that's got them scratching their heads completely. But right after that, then we get another Federation ship, the USS Yamato, which Enterprise's sister ship. So it's the exact same ship. Yeah. And we do see the Yamato again in the future as well. So this is not the first time we see the Yamato. I mean, this is the first time we see Yamato, but it's not the last time we'll see it. So
you'll never see the last of me.
Yeah, we'll come back. Don't worry. Wesley says Yamato shouldn't even be in this quadrant. It's not even close to here, so there's no reason for it to be here. So, but it is eerie as it flies up towards the ship. It's like, what the hell is going on? So,
to myself, I didn't realize that they were the same, like, model ship, but I was like, it's your ship, dummies. You're in some weird void. And then
come on.
I was like, oh, it's the Yamato. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I'm the dummy.
But it's funny. It's like at this time, it's just like like the original series. Every time you saw another ship, a Federation ship, it usually was just another version of the Enterprise. Mm. You know, just because they didn't have money to build more models. So as they find the Yamato, there's no life signs. So Riker wants to go send a away team over. Picard lets him go over, and he goes over with Worf. And again, Worf is like, beam over to the bridge, and this way they'll be surprised. And Riker's like, who? What are you talking about? Why? There's nobody on the ship.
Right.
And he's like, still a good strategy. And he's like, all right, whatever. So they get beamed over, but
they beam to different parts of the ship.
Yes, yeah, so they're in different corridors, and you hear like weird noises and screaming going through the ship. Mm-hmm. And they start running towards the sounds, and they run. They find themselves again. They bump into each other. It's like, I heard you scream. I heard you scream. So, and then the ship doesn't make any sense. They go through doors. And they go to the bridge.
One bridge connected to another bridge.
Right.
Bridge and there's galore.
And then there's sections where, like, I think the one time when, Worf is looking in, he sees Riker on the other side, mm-hmm. and he goes towards him. It's the same Riker in the other room. So he's like, it's like the beacon. They just,
they're going this loop. Can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Your brain gets like, overexcited, and he's like,
he's like, I can't take it anymore. This place is fucking bonkers.
Calm your tits, Worf.
Yeah, I know. Totally. He's totally loses his mind. So at the same time when all this is going, Worf is losing his shit. Some guy took over for Crusher, Ensign Haskell, which is great too, because this is a meme. Have you seen this meme? The gif with the guy losing his mind before he dies.
Oh, that's sad.
I know,
I have seen it because because I remembered this death.
So. Yeah, it's some people send this all the time to you when you're like going crazy or you're losing your mind or something like that. It's because he's like, anyways, but he detects a gap in the stars and he can see the stars. So it's almost like baiting them, like, ah, you could get out right now and you could leave those guys. You just fly them out right now. Mm-hmm. And so.
But Picard, it ebbs and flows. It's there, it's not there. It's there, it's not there.
Right, exactly. So Picard's like, beam him up, get him out of there right now. But the Yamato starts to vanish. So Picard's then trying to get O'Brien to get the away team back. And O'Brien is successful at it, but everything was, it looked like it was just about to vanish on them.
Part of my theory about the fact that the experience on the ship didn't actually happen is actually O'Brien's reaction when they actually beam back. Because they beam in, and they mm-hmm. walk out the door, and he doesn't even look up at them.
Yeah, he's like, whatever.
Doesn't say anything to them. He's just standing there.
Yeah, and it's funny, too. The same thing is that... O'Brien was kind of in the beginning just like a side character. But it's so weird that Colm Meaney became such a like well-renowned actor. Mm. I don't think this was his first role, obviously, but it's like it got him his start. You know, I mean, he's done so much other, even more than Deep Space Nine. So I don't know. Just it's funny. He just takes a very quiet role in this.
Maybe.
It develops more as time goes on. But
yeah, it was just weird that he didn't even acknowledge.
Yeah.
Their presence. So who knows? They didn't show him speaking to the computer. You just heard it over the intercom. So I think it was just fake.
Oh, you think it was fake?
It's weird. I think the whole thing was in their heads. I don't know where they were. Like, I don't know where anybody beamed to. You can't just beam somebody out in space, bring them back 20 minutes later, and they're fine.
Hey. It all could be a simulation.
Exactly. Who knows? So.
No, not again. We're not going down that one again. That window vanishes, but then another one opens up. So they're like, they're going to go for it, but Picard decides to ignore it. He's had enough. He's like, fuck this. And Dr. Pulaski even brings up, I think twice people brought up the idea of rats in a maze.
They think this is where it happened. And then, what is his name? Nagilam?
Yeah, Nagilam.
Mm-hmm. He shows his theoretical face.
Yeah, that weird distorted face that shows up on the screen.
It's very reptilian weird. I don't know how to explain it.
It's very odd looking for sure.
It's
yes.
Odd looking.
And,
it's
stretched out.
Stretched out and weird.
Yeah. I think even, Geordi says it's pretty ugly looking face.
he flat out insulted the guy while they're talking to him. And I was like, oh,
damn, dude, you're ugly. I know. It's like your first contact with another race. And you're like, damn, you're ugly.
Right. I was like, that is unnecessary.
That is unprofessional, sir.
Yes.
I came in here for a consultation, on my, I need to get that plastic surgery. Uh-huh. Damn, dude, you ugly.
Oh, man.
So Nagilim shows up, and he's interested in the humans, but he's also interested in how they function, and he's interested in the idea of death. And this is where he takes that Ensign Haskell and just kills him right there. He just flips out.
I want to point something out. Mm-hmm. So remember how in the beginning Worf told the mention of a tale?
Yes.
Nagilam paid no mind to Worf. He didn't address him. The camera never went on him. I think if this is the fabled blob from Worf's culture,
mm-hmm.
The blob has already attained as much knowledge of the Klingons as he ever will. And he just ignored Worf the entire time.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, he talked to all of the quote-unquote humans. Maybe he really thought that Data was a human.
Hmm.
But he only addressed the humans.
That's a good point. That's very good. So if they do watch him die, and obviously...
Oh, yes, sir.
Picard says, we can't allow you to do that. And, Gilliam says that he is going to have a third of the ship's crew, and they're going to die in every possible way so he can understand what this death thing is about. And, they're just like, what? So, this is where Picard decides he's going to, they have a discussion, and they're going to just, auto-destruct the ship. So, Picard and Riker...
I feel like this was a bad time for me to join the Enterprise.
I know, maybe I should have requested that Yamato posting. Damn it. These people are crazy.
Right.
So, we get the whole, how long to prepare to die.
So I liked that in, you know, that the conversation that went between Riker and Picard. I felt like you saw that they each had an understanding of the other and the way the other thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that.
So they decided on a nice round 20 minutes.
Right.
You're like, yeah, it seems, you know, get your affairs in order. So from there...
You can send a beacon to your wife and say,
no,
sorry, babe.
That's it. That's it.
Done.
Yeah, or write a letter to mom, say, we had a good run, but it didn't quite make it, because it's never going to get mailed.
Right, right.
So while Picard gets himself all fancied up in his room, ready to die, he gets a visit from Data, and then Troy. Troy first, but they want to discuss death. And why they're doing this, and Picard then realizes that this is Nigelium talking to him. So
I think the interesting actors. I wish that before the scene, like, the actors didn't know that they were, you know.
Right.
Because Troy, you could just fucking tell. Like, she has a way of speaking, and in this episode, she said words in weird accents. Like,
interesting.
It just caught my ear funny, and I was just like, okay, she's not her. Like, that's not her. She doesn't talk like that. And then when Data came in, he, like, kind of swaggered in with, like, no address to Picard, and, like, no analytical left foot, right foot. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So they probably knew they weren't. But I wish that they were able to hide it more in their body language and the way that they spoke, and rather just came out in a certain way. But that was probably part of the whole thing. So it's part of the charade.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. It was interesting at first, because you feel like something's off, but you're not entirely certain if you're reading it wrong in the very beginning. And then, you know, during the conversation, you're like, oh, so this isn't those two.
There are other parts of this episode where I felt that, and I will bring them up later.
Interesting.
They're short. It's short. I could probably bring it up now, but we don't need it to be sidetracked anymore.
No more sidetracks.
No more.
So,
we come back right back to the same spot.
We could. we could throw a beacon down.
Exactly.
See if we come back to the same spot.
So, and then we'll have a snack on the way back.
Yes, we could eat them. Wait, the birds ate it. God damn it. Damn forest creatures. So this is where Picard yells out, "It's not gonna work, Nigelum!" And the two go away, and they go. All of a sudden, they're like
outside the blob.
Yeah, outside the blob, they're free in open space, and the countdown is still going down. And Picard wants to make sure, so he
goes to the bridge, and he's like, "We're gonna ride this bitch out." And they're like, "Captain, can we turn the countdown off?
Don't want to turn this off.
Like, yeah. Let's do that now." And he's like, "Nope, we're gonna wait." Take us to warp 2, and they, any heading, and they go. And he's like, I'm not sure we're out of this thing. And
I know, they're like, they're just going, and then finally at the last little bit, he's like, deactivates it, and like, Riker, do you concur? And he's like, yeah, I concur.
Wholeheartedly and
irrevocably. Shut the shit out. Shut the shit up. And they're like, oh, you kind of lost your shit there a little bit.
He's like, I didn't want there to be any question of my motives or misunderstanding.
I didn't want there to be any misunderstanding. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
That was great. That was good. Yeah, he was definitely getting a little too nervous. Picard goes to his office ready room, and this is where Nagilim shows up on his computer monitor. Yeah. And
didn't take a different form, still took the weird form.
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, they knew how to budget back then, Discovery.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. It's funny. He says, Nagilim makes kind of like a couple jabs at him. He says that you're rash, you're quick to judge, you're slow to change, you're too militant, you're too hostile. And, Picard says, yeah, but there's one thing we have in common. And, he says, our curiosity, our need to explore. And he says, maybe we'll see you again, but in open space or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that was the only thing that acknowledges that. I think Picard thinks it all happened in his head.
Interesting.
I think that's why he said in open space.
Interesting. I think we can get into it more, but I was thinking, because we're all talking about the difference in aliens, and this is where he sees a common overlap, you know, between the two. So, but anyways, Picard goes back to the bridge and tells them to keep away from any holes, and the show ends. So you have many ideas on this.
I kind of voiced most of them, but two other little things I wanted to bring up just because I noticed them and I felt it was. Remember how I talked about in the beginning about how the characters didn't seem, you know, you said that they didn't seem fully developed, but I just felt they seemed like really out of place.
Yeah.
So when Riker and Worf come back, Riker comes to the bridge and he just yells at Jean-Luc. And yes, Jean-Luc and Riker have this...
Hey, motherfucker!
They've got this bromance that, you know, it's unique. However, when Jean-Luc kind of, like, lets it go, he says nothing, but then he's like, I'll be in my quarters, or whatever he says. He has this little smirk on his face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not really... I mean, I'm not saying it's not very Jean-Luc. It is, but it was out of place. And I was like, huh, okay. And then later on when, or was that when he did the smirk? Yeah, he did the smirk. And then later on, when he does leave the bridge, Data has the same smirk. And I was like, is it this being? Like, is this all a fucking hallucination?
Why?
So I don't remember. I watched the episode twice today.
Yeah, yeah.
Twice and a half today.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember any.
You're getting to the nuances.
And I don't remember if there were any other instances. Like, I don't remember Worf smirking at anything. I don't remember, like, Troy smirking at any particular instance. But I just felt like that was kind of like a tell that it wasn't really them. Because it was almost very similar. It was always like the camera was on their right, so they like did a little smirk on their right side, and then like they were gone. So I don't know. It was just interesting. So I don't think it really happened. I think it was all in Jean-Luc's head. And
do you think was this an alien doing this to him?
Just
Nagilim was reaching out to Picard's brain?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that the crew didn't experience it as well, but I don't think it was real.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was the one smirk was I was Picard talking to Riker, and they were talking about tying the captain up to the mast or something like that, or yard arm or iron, or I can't remember what they said, but, and he says, not that anybody would do that to you. And he says, that's comforting to know, or something like that. And just a little smirk. He doesn't even look at Riker when he says that. And the other one was when,
that's a characteristic one. That's like normal. This other one was not.
And then
he like bursts on from the transporter room and he's like, get the fuck out of Dodge!
Yeah.
And he just smirks and walks away. Like, that's not how that would have gone down.
That's true, possibly. And the other one was Data after Pulaski was giving him shit. He says, I gotta remember that you're not a toaster, and I gotta treat you like a living being, you know? So, you know, and then Data gives us a little smirk, like, okay. You know, like, what the fuck? So,
interesting.
Yeah, I watched it twice, but I didn't watch it concurrently. So I watched it I think a week ago, and then I watched it recently, a day ago or something. So,
well, at least we both remember the smirks.
I do remember the smirks.
You may not know the order, but that's.
I remember the Smurfs, the Smirks, and the Snorks. So.
I love the Snorks. Okay.
The Snorks are pretty awesome.
The Snorks and Jabba Jaws.
Jabba, 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 Jabba. Oh my god, Jabba Jaw. I haven't thought of him in a while either.
Jabba Jaws was like Josie and the Pussycats underwater.
Yeah, exactly. That's all of them were. You know, they're all just like, now they're underwater, now they're in space. Now, you know, they're just a different cartoon with all the same template of characters.
Throwback.
Yeah, another throwback. So that's interesting. So you think this was all some kind of thing that Gilliam was playing on Picard and testing out his...
I think that it's really a being that collects data and information. Obviously, the episode is about observation and understanding and being inquisical, I think is the word.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not your place to judge, and it's not your place to, judge. I think that's the best word.
It's hard because...
When Nagilam is addressing Picard at the end of the episode, maybe he's actually speaking for the species of humanity maybe not just humanity, but for the species as he's observed, because... You know, Worf is the one who kind of, we discussed earlier, lives in chaos, and he lives for the fight. And what's her name? The Doctor is quick to judge. And what are some of the other things he says in that moment?
You're rash.
Yeah. Now, quick to judge, slow to change, thrives on conflict.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those things are hard to say. I mean, it's like, what would anybody else do? You know, and when you're like, I don't know, maybe it's just human nature too. So, we have a totally different
nature.
It's in your nature. But the thing is, we're from he has no concept of death, but he doesn't understand that, you know, us humans, we might not make it, especially out in space, even with a ship as advanced as the Enterprise. So, we're not going to stick around his little dimension hole or whatever he had. So it's like, we have to get out of there. We can't stay there forever. It's, you know, and if he gave us if Nagilam was like, you know, I want to, you know, talk to you and figure you out, I think it would be different, but it is weird because he did kind of look at the humans as like rats in a maze,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he had them running circles and going after the cheese and stuff like that, or showing adversity and seeing what they would do.
Yeah.
So he's testing them out and, maybe Nagilam was just a higher being and opened up his little trap for the Enterprise, like a mouse or a rat to fly into. And then he was like, you know, I'm going to put you through a bunch of tests and see what happens.
You know, I had the thought that maybe, just maybe, a lot of what happened under Jean-Luc's command. Not that he was commander at this time. Was all simulated from this point on. Do you know what I mean?
From this on?
Yeah.
From this one on?
From this one on.
It's interesting you say that because, not this, but the, you know, the very first episode, has a Q shows up and he's saying like humanity's on trial. And then when we get to the very last one, best of both worlds, he's like, this trial's still going on. We've never stopped, you know, it's a continuation of the whole thing. So, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get into just what my feelings in this, episode. I first of all, I think, Holly, you brought up some excellent points, some things I didn't even think about, tell you the truth, before. I enjoyed, just like I said before, when we first started talking about this, the Star Trek-iness of this. It's very, maybe a little slower paced, not as, you know, nothing glitzy about it. You know, that's what I liked about it. The other thing is, it was interesting. It's always interesting when, Picard and crew run into a higher, I guess, sentient force.
Yeah.
You know, like what, you know, it's always interesting to see that and how they deal with it. I mean, obviously we see it with Q a lot, but, you know, I think they kind of like pigeonhole the whole Q thing. So like he shows up as a recurring character, but as a Nagelium, we don't know the extent of his power, but it's obviously pretty vast. Either he's playing tricks on them, like you said, like playing with tricks with their mind, or he can manifest all these things physically.
Yeah. The whole scene where he, like, he doesn't ravish the doctor, mm-hmm. but he manipulates her body across the room. And that was strange. I think as a director, you should have like been like, okay, well, we have to have him manipulate other things, or mm-hmm. this just looks stupid.
Yeah,
it looked kind of stupid, and I don't think I don't think it was the actress. I think it was just that one time he physically showed something that he could do.
Right, you know what I mean? And he kills the Jensen there.
Well, that's true. He does.
And I mean, obviously, and then he wants Ensign Haskell. He kills Ensign Haskell, and he's going to kill a third of the crew. So there's something to it. But here's the other thing. Assuming this is all real, so this isn't just something that's going on in their mind, Picard and Riker deciding to blow up the ship. Acceptable losses?
I think that was the right thing to do.
So it's an odd thing because you're thinking like losing a third of the crew is hugely terrible, obviously, but it's like there's like kind of just saying like we aren't going to put up with your shit and you're not going to control us.
Right.
And I get that part, but also it's like, well, what about everybody else?
you know? You could save, so, you know, 2/3 of your ship or you could all die. So,
yeah,
I see that.
But also, I think Picard might have think like, you know, you say a third, but, you know, how far does this go?
You know, exactly. And you don't know that he's going to let you go once he understands death.
Right. And like, he's like, well, I want to understand disease now, or I want to understand, you know.
He obviously is curious about procreation.
Yeah, let's do procreation. Let's have as many weird combinations of babies we could possibly do.
Right.
You know, which, you know, that's another thing. Or what about, you know, I'm curious about mental illness. I'm curious about, you know, I don't know, anything like how you eat food.
Yeah. And where are all the Klingons that have been swallowed up in hundreds and hundreds of years of, you know, of fable?
Sure.
They would be within this blob if they were alive, and they're not.
Yeah, but to be fair, the Klingons probably lost their shit, so.
Well, I'm sure they went down with a fight.
Yeah, I'm sure they absolutely did.
I'm sure they didn't say, okay, you can have a third of our ship.
Like, we'll fight you, every one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was a little rash, but I guess thinking about it, I guess it makes the most sense if you take it out to its logical conclusion as how far this Nagelum's going to take things. We just don't know, and they're like, I'm not going to allow it go any further than it is. So I guess it was that was interesting, and I like the idea that, as we've talked before, is that we keep on looking as kind of like small windows of aliens and how they're different and how we're just think differently and how to reach out to the other and how to see one another, but also know that there's a difference there. Yeah. That's the cool thing always to me has been about Star Trek. And it's kind of always taught me that, you know, look, Aaron, not everyone's going to be like you, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to learn to work with people. And maybe they're not your favorite people, but, as long as they're not being, you know, complete assholes, you know, maybe you can work with them. So,
yeah.
It's been one of the things I think the teaching things that Star Trek's always gave me. And, you know, obviously Nagelum never learned that. I think Nagelum probably could have learned a lot more if he just would have talked to these people.
Oh, definitely. Especially with the Federation at this time, he could have had vast amounts of knowledge.
Yeah.
By just being a part, not necessarily a part of the Federation, but being a part of, not a coexistence, but I think there's a phrase for it.
Maybe a coalition?
Coalition. I think that's the word I was looking for. Just converse with these people. Just learn about their culture. If you're lied to and you take it for truth, you're gullible. Right. And then you understand what gullible means. So you're learning. Like, just get over it.
Well, and the other side of it is, too, is that... What I was going to say is, like, maybe to Nagelum, you know, the humans and any, you know, race that is in the Federation, it's just, like, it's talking to... Like, literally, like, talking to a mouse. Like, yeah, I'm sure there's some intelligence there, but not what I'm used to.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's just not enough for, you know, Nagelum to talk to, but it's interesting enough for him to take a moment to pause. So,
well,
I don't know.
He needs to find another thing like him.
Right.
And get knocked on his ass for being a dick. Ooh.
Maybe you're just being a dick, or maybe he's just basically a kid, like, with a stick and poking it at an anthill, you know, kind of thing.
Or a magnifying glass,
exactly.
I never did that, but I did put salt on snails once or twice.
Oh, yeah. I never burned ants either. I never did that. I might have done the salt on a snail once just to see if it actually worked.
It works.
Oh, yeah, it works. It's not much left of them.
Disclaimer.
It works. Yeah. It does work. You don't have to try it.
You don't. They're gentle. I mean, unless your mother is, like, really vicious about her garden and she's like, "That's snails! Don't do it."
But you don't want to sow salt in the garden anyway, so just don't worry.
Don't be Nagelum.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Nagelum seems a bit of a dick. But I guess we could be looked at dicks too as we've ran, you know, mice and rats through mazes and whatever else we might have done,
to terrible things to test animals that are tested on.
As we've mentioned just before with our dog intro. Yeah. So
the grim tales of the dogs.
I know. We're just going to talk about how it's like, we're beating up on the animals today.
But no, that's a good point. Like, a rat in a cage, a rat in a maze. Like, mm-hmm. I understand why they use rats, and I understand why they use pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Do I like it? No, I do not. Do I take drugs? I don't even like ibuprofen. So no, I don't need your rat studies. If I die of some disease that could have been cured by a study on a rat, like HIV, they just made this breakthrough with HIV. But in order to find this cure, they weren't... So rats and humans don't have... I'm going on a rant. Never mind.
No, I understand why doctors use it, because we have a similar type of biology, but right. It's not the same. I agree. I'm of two minds, and I've talked about this before. I've always felt that treatment.
You were a vegan for a long time.
Yeah, I was. I kind of got out of it, and I want to. I keep on thinking about going back to it, but I just think that we treat, it's like people like get, you know, I get pissed off because I see people get pissed off when, and rightly so, when like an animal, like a dog's beat up or abused or whatever. But then I think like, well, we're doing it to pigs, we're doing it to cows. And mm-hmm. by any stretch, if you've been around those animals, they are just isn't. They're very intelligent. They're very, they have emotion. I just don't understand. I get it. I get it. You know, it can be delicious prepared certain ways, you know, and everyone loves their bacon. But, you know, it's just to me, it's just like, is it really fair just to get that mouth joy for that moment, you know, to do that to an animal? And I just, I don't know. I am so, and I, and I've said it before. I'm a fucking hypocrite. I've said it before more than once. I was like, I committed myself to it and I backed off and I should probably get back into it just because it is how I feel about it. But
yeah. And you can get protein from so many other things, so many other places and you know,
I would never ever tell anybody how they should be and how they should eat and stuff like that. I mean, and obviously everybody take this grain of salt. I'm not saying this is how I feel about it. I just always felt like, you know, I wouldn't want to do that to a dog or a cat. You know, why would I do it to a pig or a cow or, you know, it's just more of a convenience to tell you the truth. It's honestly, it's very, you have to do a lot of, not, I don't want to say a lot of work, but you have to definitely plan out your meals better. You have to think about things better. Because you, if you're vegetarian, vegan, you have to, you can get into bad ruts eating shit food for, if you don't think about what you're doing.
I honestly, I'd be more like pescatarian, which is like fish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I do, I like fish too. Actually, sushi, I like salmon.
I'm really too. I mean, and I guess it's all according where you want to go, like where you draw the line. Like some people are like they allow, you know, cheeses and like eggs into their diet because obviously you're not harming the animal from that. But obviously, I mean, if you want to keep everything, mm-hmm. you know. Those factory farms, those are things that really are shitty.
We eat mostly organic.
That's good.
But what's more important to me is how the animals are treated. So, you know, just because it says no hormones ever used ever, that doesn't mean, or no antibiotics ever, that doesn't mean that the animal was cared for. That means that if the animals got sick...
Yeah.
They killed it and served it to you anyway.
Right, right.
Like, there's such a weird way to market health food.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know how we got to health food.
Rats in the maze.
But, honestly, if I didn't have to eat at all, I wouldn't.
Well, I think that goes for most of us. It's like, if I could never have to eat shitty food and be the optimal health, I would do that. But right? No, I just keep eating that Captain Crunch. Maybe we should get off diets because I'm sure people are like saying,
oh, I'm sure they've turned us off by now.
Yes, but, well, let's wrap up the show. So, Where Silence Has Lease. Fun episode, I would say. Maybe not the greatest. You know, it's not going to go down in the Hall of Fames, but, I'm glad we talked about it. And I think we got a different idea of, the allegory, maybe not allegory, not the menagerie. That's a wrong word too. Sort of the exposition of aliens. That's what exposition of different aliens. We got to see Worf. We got to see Data, and then we got Nagilum, and then Nagilum looking back at the humans saying, what the fuck are these things? So, I think that was an interesting, I don't know. It's just a way to look at a show.
I think they wrote a lot of subtlety into the episode that was not explained or expounded upon, and I wish we got more of an explanation because this episode kind of left me feeling not unfulfilled because the episode itself... Well, no, unfulfilled. Let's go with that because we don't really know if they left... If they really left this void.
They could still be in the void.
They could still be there.
Yeah.
We don't know. So
that'd be interesting if they if the Picard
series
is him breaking out of Nagilum's.
Well, let me tell you a story about Nagilum, and then everybody better fucking
he's
call
a
Aaron,
dick.
who suggested this episode?
I know, I know. Oh my god, that'd be funny. But,
that would be great. But no, I think that it was a thought-provoking episode, and like I said, like, everybody observes everyone. I'm a people watcher.
Mm.
I love to observe people, and I'm not the kind of people watcher who goes out and I sit there and I'm like, oh, that's a scumbag. Oh, hey, Karen, that's your boyfriend. Like, look at him. Isn't he tasty? But he's, like, really gross and nasty, and you're like, wow, thanks.
Thanks, Holly.
Yeah.
That's not really my type, but all right.
That's not my kind of people watching. I really love to just watch people exist.
Mm.
And so this was a fun episode for me to see because it's kind of making me, you know, look at how I observe others. Not that I think I observe them in any kind of ill manner, but
you watch it, the nuance in people. It's funny. I think I pick up on certain cues, but I don't pick up as much as you do. So it's interesting sometimes when I hear you just talk about an episode or a movie or something, you pick up on body language stuff that more than I do, which is interesting.
I love body language. I love what people don't say is more fascinating than what they do say,
mm-hmm,
to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched this episode at work today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I paused it and I would have to take like 3 calls and then I would have another 5 minutes.
Blah, 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 blah. You people keep calling me. I don't want to know.
Right.
I don't
right.
want to know your problems.
Yeah. So, but I felt that it's not that I was distracted at work and then that I had to watch it a second time. Aaron, I think you were like, yeah, this is an easy episode. Like, it's interesting, but like not a lot happened.
Right.
But I feel like, to me, I think a lot happened.
Yeah, I think it's more than we think because it's not as there's not as much going on as some episodes. You know, like it doesn't have implications later on. It's just sort of like it just happens in this one episode. Yeah, standalone episode.
And the standalone episodes are really good to break up the storyline because yeah, you want to have that. Oh, like 3 weeks ago, wasn't there that episode where, you know, they were supposed to retrieve the pendant from the lady who died, and you're
exactly.
Just like...
Exactly. And that's the thing, it's like, I think with Discovery, too, is that we're discovering, is that, you know, it's cool to have that serialized, like, this what's happened, and now the next thing happens, next thing. Sometimes you just want just something to go on that, like this, that's like, maybe doesn't impact anything. It's just a side adventure, you know, it's interesting, you know? Let's wrap up this episode, Holly, and we'll get into our next episode next week. We are undecided, so we'll have to figure that one out later.
Yeah.
But
we shall.
But as Dave always says, you can find our show at Synthaholics.com. You can he also brings up that our music's provided by Warp 11 and by Dave Wilkes. So you can find Warp 11 at warp11.com on Twitter or warp11.com. Also, you can find us on Twitter. We're the show is at Synthaholic, at Synthaholic Duo. I'm at Blackbird2004. David's David_J_Duncan. And Holly is Lunar Thistle. You can also rate and view us on iTunes. That's a great way to help support the show. A little review, that's nice. But apparently iTunes is going to get all changed soon. That's what I keep reading about.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to redo the whole thing. So maybe all these reviews won't mean anything. Who the hell knows? But up until then, you know, a review, so leave some stars. Very nice.
Just share with your friends. I mean, if you have friends and you enjoy us and you don't think your friends are going to enjoy us, like, it's okay to have friends of different caliber.
Sure.
And I think...
Maybe like Star Wars.
Yeah. we talk about more than just Star Trek.
Yes, obviously.
And we're not always right about what we're saying, but... It's fun to discuss with us.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So yeah, definitely tell friends. And as always, you know, we have our Patreon. If you can throw some money our way, that definitely helps our show. If we can fund from new equipment and all sorts of stuff. So check us out as Patreon.com/Synthaholics. And, as always, too, go on Facebook. We have Facebook group, Facebook.com/Synthaholics, groups. It's great. A great way just to, chime in and, you know, join the community there.
It's fun. You wouldn't have known that we put a YouTube video up last week if you weren't part of the Facebook page.
That's right. Yeah. So definitely. Right. And, you know, as Holly just brought up, we put, sometimes we haven't done as many YouTubes. I mean, we post the episodes up on YouTube, but you can find us on YouTube as well. You can, look us up there if you just want to listen to us on YouTube instead of going through whatever you do for podcasts. And there are other videos up there as well. Just not as many as we used to. Dave used to do a lot of, drinks and all sorts of other reviews. So maybe he'll get back into doing that right now where he's in this limbo with this schedule.
Maybe we should force him.
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, anything else you want to say just before we sign off?
Really excited for Picard.
Yes,
and
me too.
If they kill his fucking dog.
Oh, well, we'll go John Wick.
I will fuck somebody up. And there better be some credits that say no animals were harmed in the making of this.
That's right. That dog lived.
Fuck.
Well, thank you all of us so much for joining us. Live long and prosper one and all, and do not fall into any dark holes.
Or go willing.
Or to go willing into a dark hole. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's fun. Nah, don't go.
Well, you think it's going to be fun.
You think it's going to be fun, but it all turns out terrible. And there's a guy named Nagilum there. He's all fucking stretched out, weird looking. You don't want to see him. All right. Well, everyone, live long and prosper, one and all.
One and all.
And all for one.
You're the best drinking friend I ever had. I went to an art gallery this week or yesterday. Let me talk about it later, but I was just going to bring it up because there was this exhibit, and I didn't understand the exhibit, and there wasn't an explanation for it, but it was kind of like FX in film.
Oh, really?
And there was an Enterprise model in the trash can in one of these mini models, and I was like,
what?
Oh.
What did you save the from the trash can?
I didn't take a picture. No, it was in a glass case. Like it was.
Oh,
part of the
okay.
Model. Yeah.
Okay. Sort of like it was
part
like
of the art.
So they kind of like it was the idea of that they're symbolizing that yeah. it's garbage or throw it out or something.
Right,
like
right. They had like, they had six models of effects, and they were they had like Godzilla, and then like. They had a melting zombie, but it was really interesting, like, because they were miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to distract from the episode, but I just, we just have models and reusing models, and so because it was in the trash, I thought I should bring it up, but I'll tell you about it later.
But please take those models out of the trash.
Right. I didn't take a picture of it. I didn't feel like I've never been to an art exhibit before.
Oh, no. Really?
And so I didn't take any photos, except for one, which I just put, I'm going to put on my Instagram and tag the artist because I just love him.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I was afraid to take pictures. I especially was afraid to take pictures because I didn't want someone to come up to me and either tell me to get out or ask me what I thought of their art. And I was like, just if somebody talks to you, just horse blinders.
Yeah, I don't know you. No English.
No habla.
And then they start speaking you in that language.
Fuck.
God damn it. Look, I'm going to level with you. I didn't come here to talk to people. Okay.
Right, exactly. I just... I'm socially awkward, okay? You're ruining my life.
And just run out the door. You know, I think the only rule I've ever really held on any art gallery is just don't touch anything. Mm-hmm. I remember taking somebody to an art gallery and they touch on the paintings. What the fuck are you doing? Don't touch that. So this is like I know it's I don't even know what this thing's worth, but it's way too much money for you even to be putting your fingers on it.
Right. Oh man. Well, it was the exhibit opening, so I didn't want to share any photos of an exhibit that literally just opened. I think this one's going to be well, at least Brian Kessinger is going to be there until November 24th. So I was like, I'm not going to share these with people on opening night. That's fucked up.
Well, you know, I honestly, if I was an artist, I'd probably appreciate it.
You're not sharing?
No, you sharing. Just letting more people know, get them interested. I mean, it's a huge thing, you know. You spent all that work, but it's all courting. You know, some people are funny about stuff like that. You know, it's all courting.
I didn't understand his exhibit because his exhibit was called, like, Unapologetic Flowers. And I love the concept because he had a lot of things written and posted around the walls. But the visual effects stuff was so unrelated that there needed to be descriptions, and they were literally just like floating aisles, and I didn't have any way of knowing what they were thinking.
Sometimes it doesn't make any fucking
sense.
Apparently
they thought that, you know, the Star Trek Enterprise needed to be in the trash.
Throw this shit out. We don't need this shit anymore.
Right.
Don't break my heart.
Yeah.
So
sorry for that worm.
No, it's cool. That's the wormhole we got sucked into another dimension for a little bit. It's cool. It's definitely art galleries and stuff like that are always fun, and they're hard to sometimes figure out or try to get in the head of the artist. And sometimes it clicks, and other times you're like, I don't like this.
You're probably not supposed to, because I've seen some obscure art.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm absolutely. There's usually there's something for everybody too. So.
Right.
But anyway. back to the black void.
Like our attention span.
Our attention span is vast.
Of nothingness.
It just goes into nothing. We just keep going back to the same place over and over again. Wait, is that Yamato again? But
okay. I just to put that out there, I think it's cruel to crop your dog's ears. I know some breeds you have to crop like their tail for hygiene purposes, but in today's day and age, I don't think that's necessary anymore. You know, if you're willing to eat pork because today's day and age you can cook it better, then you shouldn't be cropping your animals.
Cleaning
them.
Why? Oh, is it just a cleaning issue with cleaning dogs' ears?
For dog fighting, it's...
Well, I get the dog fighting.
Ripped off, cropping a dog's tail is, like, a hygienic thing. Some dogs have, like, deformities where you have to crop their tail. Or it causes issues. Or, like, taking off the dog's dew claws because they scratch their face. And I think that's why Storin's claws were removed before we got her. I think she probably damaged her eyes on her own. And I think that her previous owners removed her dew claws thinking that would help, and it didn't help because she already had an issue. But
interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think there's a reason for it anymore in today's day and age. It's an aesthetic thing, and I mean, I get it. If you're willing to file your teeth and, you know, tattoo your skin and make yourself look cool, like, that's great. You should do that for you. I think things are awesome, but I don't think you should put that on your pet. I don't think you should be cropping.
No, that's like tattooing your child. That's just not right.
Right. Or your dog. People tattoo their dogs.
People tattoo dogs?
Yes.
For what?
Selfish reasons? I don't know. I don't know anyone who has personally tattooed a dog. I would knife them.
That doesn't make any sense.
Or I would crop their ears. That's what I would do.
Crop a person's ears,
Call me a motherfucker.
Yeah. No, I don't understand that either. I mean, I know that certain things are done, you know, sometimes to protect the animal, like you said. Like, sometimes they have to remove some of their claws because they might hurt themselves or... Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know ear clipping was a thing. Like, I didn't know that was something they did. I thought it was something because they tear up their ears or something. But yeah, I'm really bad with dogs. I only had one dog. I had a yellow lab growing up. So, and she was a very nice dog. So that's the only dog I really knew. So, but I don't dislike dogs. Just I did see a sped up video of. Snails eating or slugs eating. It was pretty interesting, actually. They're like, They just munch. They just keep munching.
That's how I. That's my inner monologue when I'm eating. Nom, nom, nom,
nom, nom, I know. I what? Yeah. So the kids sometimes when they have like some like weird food, like they had some Captain Crunch left over in the box. I was like, oh, I'm eating that. Mm-hmm. So I normally wouldn't, but you know, it was there, and I had to. But yeah, so
the story is it was stale and you were saving the kids.
I was
from stale cereal.
Kids, I don't want you to have diabetes, so I'll give it to myself. Don't worry. Give me more. I'm going to go out for some more Captain Crunch.
This is a budget.
We're over budget, people. Now we're going to do all our scenes naked.
Well, that's going to be hard for a podcast. I don't think anyone will believe it.
Nobody will know. Nobody will know. Burn that seat. All right. Well, anyways, let's wrap it up, Holly.
Pretty much all I have to say.